The breakfast eggs were over easy. They were also over 3 weeks old and grievously overcooked. Ryan had been sitting across the table from the teenager, with JB on his left, and Doc picking thoughtfully at some green bacon on the right. Knuckles was checking on the horses, while Capistrano and Ellie were having a working breakfast, discussing the play they were planning to put on that evening.
You know, we could use these to block off that big gap at the side of the window, or shoot them at this Baron Seidler when we go after that gang.
Ryan stood and walked toward Michael, who saw the expression on Ryan's face and got to his feet, adapting a defensive Dao Den Do posture. Ryan feinted with his right hand, seeing Michael react with lightning speed, already anticipating the blow from the left. The one-eyed man third-guessed him and followed through with the right, open-handed. It left marks of palm and fingers across the young man's smooth face. Michael clenched his fists, ready to retaliate, but Ryan was already 3 steps away from him, near the sofa, his hand hovering over the butt of his 6-hour.
I'm not sure I care for your little lesson in power play, my dear Ryan. If the young man has erred, then it is only human. Surely it would be divine of you to forgive him.
There are times you can say triple stoop things and I let them pass, Doc. This isn't one of them.
What did I do?
Michael sat again, picking up a slice of bread and smearing butter on it with fingers that trembled a little.
What did...
He spun on his heel and moved to the door, jerking it open and peering out into the deserted corridor. Their suite was in an angle of the building, with only one other room adjoining. He went to that door and yanked it open, finding the bedroom completely empty, without a stick of furniture. A large brown spider scuttled away, disturbed by his intrusion. JB joined him in the passage.
You thought
that... I wondered. Did you know there wasn't anybody listening at the door, or in the room next door? Did you know that, boy? You trying to get us all chilled?
No, I didn't. And I get what you mean, Ryan. You still didn't have to hit me.
Wrong. Wrong in a mess of ways, Michael.
It had been a long time since the crimson mist had flowed over his seeing and over his mind like that. And he realized, as he calmed a little, the strain that this expedition had put him under, leaving both his woman and his boy behind in the clutches of Baron Alfred Nelson. At that moment, Ryan decided that whatever happened in Yuma, he would chill the Vista Baron if he got the chance.
You're 19, aren't you, Michael?
Yes.
You want to live to see 20? You have to think. Think all of the time. Not just when you're lying in a scrape in the dirt with 50 stickies charging at you. Any crazy can think at a time like that.
I hear you, Ryan.
No, that's what the slap was for. One of the best of Trader's sayings was that talk was cheap and that action costs. You might remember next time, Michael. But Rosie Owen doesn't look to me like the sort of lady you could trust further than you could throw her.
You suspect that our proprietor could have been eavesdropping, Ryan? Oh, upon my soul, I would not have suspected that.
No, Doc, I guess you wouldn't. But I've lived a whole lot longer in Deathlands than you. One word to the Baron here about our mission, and we'd all be dangling upside down over a slow fire, watching our own guts sizzle. So we all keep quiet all the time, unless we're sure we can speak quietly without any risk.
Someone's outside.
Come in.
Capistrano was a poem in pastels, a pale blue silk shirt slashed to the navel over lilac pants tucked into soft cream boots. A large medallion had been slung around his neck, which Ryan decided was golden rather than gold. His hair was gelled with a scented pomade. Ellie was with him, wearing a black shirt and mid-knee skirt. Her shoes were polished to a mirror finish, with 3-inch heels.
Good breakfast?
Eating worse. Only I can't recall when.
We have been talking about what we should do for our performance here in Yuma.
Tonight?
Ah, there is the rub. There lies the heart and core of our dilemma. Ellie and I are as one in our feeling that it would be as well to seek a postponement until tomorrow.
I would personally hasten to second that suggestion.
I'll third it.
It's just that we have suffered from a considerable depletion in our company. Diego and I have worked late last night and this morning on a reworking of one of our old favorites, so as to incorporate Doc and Michael to their best advantage.
What is the name of this play, madam?
We considered the finest examples of the dramaturge's art throughout the ages.
We sadly rejected the bard. Too many words.
It was narrowed down to a choice between 2 smaller masterpieces.
The first is both handfuls, the tale of a dying gaudy whore who is saved by an older admirer who shoots her errant husband and strangles her no-good son, you, Michael.
That sounds okay to me.
Older admirer? What is the other choice?
A man of discernment, Doctor. I knew it. We have agreed on our other selection. It involves some participation from the audience. Always popular. It is called The Revenge. A simple title. I will explain the plot as we go. But Ellie is a maid left abandoned with a claim to the matchless mine. I am the villain who is attempting to steal both her virtue and her silver mine.
What part am I to play in this ingenious imbroglio, if I may be so bold as to inquire?
My rescuer. And Michael is your oldest son. Knuckles is your youngest, a part that involves little speaking. And we capture all of Diego's cutthroats by a cunning subterfuge. It ends with Diego slain and me coupling with both of you at once. What do you all think?
The Revenge, huh? Sounds like a mighty good title for a play, Ellie. I have to go see the Baron. I'll leave you to your rehearsal.
As Ryan walked through the ville, he was conscious of a feeling he'd had many times before. He always wondered what the place looked like before the nukes darkened the skies. He'd seen plenty of torn and bleached old magazines and broken books, as well as occasional scratched and jumpy vids, so he could formulate a sort of idea of Yuma, Colorado. Tanned men wearing loose quilted parkas in vivid shades of purple and lime green would be escorting power-dressed blonde women with perfectly cut manes and stiletto heels. All of them would be locked into intricate games of buying and selling, people and things. And you hardly ever saw any of them within a half mile of the seductive slopes of fresh white snow. Though you did see them in their wood-lined bedrooms laying out neat lines of fresh white powder on small silver mirrors. There would be huge wags dripping with chrome and flake acrylic paint, rumbling along the sweeping curves of the interstates. Yuma didn't look like that now. Three-quarters of the original pre-nuke buildings were gone, some folding up under seismic movements, while many others had fallen victim to raging fires. Ryan looked around as he walked, seeing that hardly any of the multi-story accommodation blocks were still standing. Many of the trendy boutiques that would once have formed part of a pedestrian mall were still there. Most of the windows were broken. Above the sagging or missing doors, Ryan could read the names, faded and almost obliterated by the weather, again giving that odd, elusive flavor of the past. The Villa San Miguel, a Mexican restaurant, with two small green sombreros painted on either side of the window. Yuma Greenery, the pictures showing an exotic flowering cactus. Don Fernando's Casa de Yuma, with no clue as to what that might have sold. Zapata the Jeweler, Jose's Veggie Eatery. The Arroyo Seco Bar and Gaudy was open and functioning, even that early in the morning. Ryan paused in the shadowy doorway, surrounded by the smell of last night's beer, cigarette smoke, and vomit. A half-asleep girl at a round table caught his eye and beckoned to him.
Want a breakfast quickie, mister?
No. Thanks, but no thanks. Too early in the day for me.
Never too early for a good blowjob.
Maybe tomorrow.
I'll be waiting.
Hey.
Yeah?
I'm going to report to the Baron. Am I on the right road?
Sure. Past the corner of Daly and Manson. Can't miss it.
Thanks.
Hey there, One Eye.
What?
Make like you're walking on eggshells when Sidler's in your face.
Sure thing. Thanks.
The Yuma Multiplex Cinema was easily identifiable, partly because it was one of the biggest buildings left standing in the ville, partly because there was a gang of ragged, slovenly sec men hanging around its front, like blowflies hovering over a haunch of rotting horse meat. Ryan didn't recognize any of them from the previous day, though they were all obviously cast from the same unsavory mold. All were male, mostly aged between 20 and 40, wearing a motley assortment of filthy and ragged clothes. All had the lightning flash and silver pinned to their jackets, and were mostly armed with automatic rifles, some with hand blasters. The old vid palace that squatted behind them was single-storied, with a long frontage and a blank side wall of featureless gray concrete. A double door was open, showing only a cavernous blackness inside the building.
A tall man with a drooping mustache watched Ryan approaching, and finally straightened up.
What do you want?
I'm an outlander, new in the Ville. I understand I have to see the Baron?
Right. Did the right thing. What's your name, mister?
Carter. I'm with the actors that came in last night in the horse wag.
You fucking the...